All right, so welcome to our monthly meeting for the 5G service modeling, where we discuss the service modeling use case, and we've been looking at the 5G NRM. So just to bring people up to speed who haven't been on the call before, and I know, sorry, some of you I think might have been on the call before, but so the 5G NRM is driving the end-to-end network slicing use case and the OFSON PCI use case in R7, but also in general, the 5G NRM is a 3GPP standard that that all vendors and service providers can use, and it suggests a lot of parameters. It takes a long time to open up the document, so I won't open it up. But I do have the document, by the way, on the page, and I'll put the page link. I'll do it now. So this is the page link. I've been putting our previous recordings and things in a separate place, but I think I'm going to start putting it here now. I've been putting it under the plug and play use case. So if you dig around, you'll see previous recordings from there. But I'm just going to start putting it here now. So the 5G NRM introduces a lot of objects, and these are the objects and the parameter names. So I contacted the rapporteur Jingping, and I asked for like a spreadsheet, and there just wasn't one. So I created one. I took a couple months to create one, and so this is the object model that is suggested in the object model that's suggested in the 5G NRM. And, you know, in ONAP, we probably don't need all of these, or at least not all of these yet. And so we want to find out which things we want to introduce and how. And I've presented this spreadsheet and the slides at lots of places in the DDF, and the 5G use case, and the modeling call, and the ANEI, and the use case realization. So in a lot of different places. And maybe I'll just go through it really quickly for everybody. So 5G, of course, is built on three major ideas: EMBB, enhanced mobile broadband, MMTC, massive machine type communications, and URLLC, ultra reliable low latency communications. And the idea is that, of course, we're going to run into use cases that will want to turn up. Eventually, ONAP needs to support a real 5G network and base stations and stuff. So in preparation for that, we need to make sure that the modeling stuff is in place, not just for end-to-end network slicing, which is an application, or OFSON PCI, which is, again, is an application, but, you know, we need to make sure we can turn up real base stations. And what do we need to do that? If it comes out that nothing, it needs to be done, that's great. Then, you know, this use case has done its job and we've got people to talk and think about it. So that's the whole point. One of the things, though, that that the OFSON PCI use case got the team to think about was, what do we do about a cell, right? A cell is defined as a carrier sector. How do we represent a cell? Where do we store a cell? How do we model a cell? And the output of that discussion was that we're going to be storing it as a logical object in the CMPS, Configuration and Persistency Database. So that was a solution that took us a couple of meetings and a couple of weeks to solve. And ONAP, in general, always works off of services. So of course, everything is a service and things are defined as services. You associate resources and so forth with them. So really this is asking, when we define a resource and we have to attach a whole bunch of parameters to that resource, how do we do it and model it intelligently? And do we need to, what do we need to model, right? So this is the in design time, you know, a lot of what design time is concerned with is how things are connected together, right? So you'll see concepts of connection points and virtual links and modeling the connection between CUs and DUs and their relationships. So we see here in the 5G NRM, which is 3GPP TS28.540, which is part one, and 3GPP TS28.541, which is part two and three. And part one is kind of just an introduction. The meat of everything is in 541. So here we see, you know, slicing things, right? NSSMF, and then we see, if you look in this network here, you'll see lots of things for the UPF, SMF, UDM, AUSF, the AMF, the access management function, authentication, data management session, and user plane functions. And you'll see a lot of those things as separate objects, which is fine. And, you know, people working in transport and core will be interested in that too. And of course, you know, we need to think about how the core wants to do stuff as well. So if you look in the model, there's lots of things, there's like 26 like endpoints that are defined. And these EP endpoints basically, this is just one example where basically one box is, you know, associated with some other box, okay? So, and their objects are very simple. They're just like there's just an IP address. That's probably not too hard to manage because it's already in, you know, can already be handled, I believe. So one of the things we're concerned with is the PNF resource. And for the PNFD, you know, something you onboard and external connection points. So these are kind of already modeled. So in ONAP, it already kind of tells you how you want things to be connected, which is good. And then the VNF model, of course, is pretty mature. And then the PNFD describes quite a number of parameters associated with the PNF. So Zhu, who's on the call, was working on the PNF software, introducing software version recently in the last a couple of releases. And then you see ANEI has a lot of inventory, obviously, inventory-related type things, serial number and hardware versions and things like that. But when it comes to the 5G NRM type stuff, there's really lots of information that we also have to think about. So things come in from other 3GPP standards. We see the 3GPP NRMs, which we're going to talk about here today. And then the geolocation stuff, which is the plug and play, under the plug and play use case, and you can listen to recordings and stuff there. And there's lots of presentations for that I've made as well, which we also have to think about. And that is going to be introducing a place object in ONAP. So these things kind of relate to the civic address and the geolocation stuff, which is also important for PNFs too. And there's also a model-driven POC. I wonder if I have a slide for it here. I should probably edit in. So there's a model-driven POC being done by Ericsson, which we may be able to leverage for this work as well. Let me just show it to you real quick here. So let me see DDF. the idea of the CMPS is that it's kind of introducing a data layer into ONAP with a CMPS database that you can send up configuration information to, that the controllers can read and write information to, and syncs with ANEI, and of course various microservices can interact with. So in R7 we have domain information, RAN, core, and transport that can save information or write information in, and of course APIs, GUIs, northbound open APIs, and then microservices like the model-driven POC, the O of Sun, PCI use case, and then network slicing, A1 adapter, and state management. But one thing that's important is in R7, there's a proof of concept for model-driven configuration persistency Tony and Toyn are leading, and I'm involved with, just because I'm involved with the CMPS project. So what it's trying to do is basically it's introducing some of the early base software for the CMPS thing that I just showed you, right? And let me see if I can show this out a little bigger here. So they're introducing work for being able to pull in a schema from design time, which of course will set up the database, and then the standard defined VES event, which will come in through the VES collector and then through DCAE onto the DMAP bus as a 3GPP config namespace, and then they can pull in parameter type information in. And then interfaces out to other entities, and then of course syncing to ANEI when new things come in and out. So that's relevant because that might also be one way that the parameters in the NRM 5G NRM are, there's only, you know, there's whatever 200 some odd parameters, 288 parameters, but you know, there's probably going to be a lot more, right? So there's probably a lot of vendor specific type things that we have to be able to import in somehow. And this is I see CMPS, this is model driven architecture as one way to in the future be able to pull in whatever we want, and maybe even some of these things too. But one of the major objectives, though, is, I mean, that's all great. That's all fine and great for, you know, Honolulu and beyond. But we need to have a solution now because the, you know, a couple of use cases are needing this right now. And let me show you the timeline of CMPS. So basically, in R6, the OFSAN PCI use case had created this internal database that they're using to store parameters within CCSDK and SDC. And that's what's now called CMPS 1.0. And then in the Guilin release in R7, CMPS will evolve to be able to support NN-network slicing and the OFSAN PCI use case. So from a database standpoint, this is where parameters are being stored. But from a modeling standpoint, which we'll spend some time talking about, is we have to start thinking as these teams are needing these parameters, if there's not some structured discussion about how we introduce this into the ONAP platform information model, I fear that the things may just sort of be haphazardly introduced, which we don't want. So I talked about the model-driven POC, and that's going to lead into the CMPS 2.0, which is the standalone project proposal happening in the Honolulu release. Okay, any questions so far? Does all make sense? Okay, let me just, a couple other people joined here. Put this over here. Okay. Whoops, I'm not in edit mode. Okay. Scott Mansfield. Okay. And Swami. I think I got Swami already. Yeah. Okay. I got Swami. All right. Okay. So, so from a process standpoint, let me just show you, some of the things that are sort of scheduled. So I've created a base REQ page for this work. It's REQ 320. And that's the EPIC that is created where we're doing this work. And then there's the modeling JIRA, which for the story, that's modeling 369 for anything we need to introduce. Oh, Zhu's on the call too. Missed him. And basically, we've gone to the modeling team, and actually, Chiyi has also stated she's interested in sort of co-leading this use case. Oops! Oh shoot! And I'm just glad she's on the call. Okay, so, all right. Oh, thanks, Anatoly. You found yourself in the system. I don't know why I didn't find you. All right. We've gone to the modeling team, and I've scheduled this into the modeling subcommittee. Let me see if I can find it really quick. Should be here. All right. So this work is scheduled into the wrong page. All right. This modeling work is scheduled into the, wow, what the heck? Oh, wait, no, sorry, use case page. Into the release 7 modeling work. All right, so it's under the modeling work for the 5G service and resource model. Basically I created a table from the standards of all of the parameters that are listed in the 5G NRM, right? So these are all the parameters that are mentioned in the document, and then what objects they are referenced against. So at first, I also met with the ANEI team a couple times. I went to their team calls, and I wanted to make sure If we wanted to, were there any things that, should be put into ANEI at all? So I talked to the ANEI team, and basically, you know, what I did was anything that related to an ID or name or address, like an IP address, I said maybe that might go into ANEI. But they felt that everything was basically neat that they had after they looked at the model. They think everything was able to be supported. So basically, that means everything else should go into the CMPS database. And I should probably, this is old, I should probably RTCDB.
By the way, Ben, if you're looking for ID, you will not find it in 541 itself because it's inherited. It's inherited with the from the object top underscore. And
if you're looking for what? Sorry, say again.
ID. There is an ID attribute for every object instance, basically. Every object instance in the network resource model has an ID, and it's inherited. And it's inherited from the top underscore.
Okay.
Which is in 28620.
Okay. Thank you.
And then basically the format of this ID is DN, distinguished name, which is basically specified in 32, I think it's 330.
Okay, great. Thank you. And do you think there's anything else from 28620 or 330 that we should?
Well, basically 28541 inherits heavily from 28622.
622, okay.
Yes, and 622 in turn inherits from 620.
I see.
So basically it's a chain of
I see.
Models. Right, you know, the 5G model itself is 541, of course.
And okay, so we should probably also look at those as well.
And, one of your earlier slides, you were trying to compare PNF, VNF, and like, you know, how you model them.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, from the NRM perspective, either PNF or VNF, they will map into managed element. Okay, so basically, managed element is the deployable unit or product, deployable product, right? It's a PNF or VNF. And then this deployable product, a deployable unit, it may contain multiple logical functions, and those are represented by various managed functions, right? And that's what you looked at.
I see.
So basically, in order to understand exactly what's being deployed, what do you deploy? You deploy a product, you know, company X product Y, right?
Mm-hmm.
For example, a Nokia physical GNB or Ericsson physical GNB, which ONAP will probably treat as a PNF.
Mm-hmm.
From the NRM perspective, this deployed GNB will be a managed element. Basically, it's a network element. The model representation will be managed element. And then if you look at one of those UMLs that you just flashed in your slides, you will see the containment. I think you did show containment for the 5G core. So basically, it's a subnetwork containing the managed element. And then the managed element may contain all those functions, right? So that's basically how it's modeled, right?
Okay, good. Thank you. That's very useful to know. It wasn't too obvious from studying the that model.
Well, you just need to know the background. Yeah, if you open this first one, you see, for example, the top here in the inheritance. Of course, the subnetwork it inherits from the top, but which will be inherited from 28620, right? But already here you see 28622 subnetwork and 28622 managed element. So subnetwork is basically just a group of products or group of functions, physical functions, virtualized functions that is deployed and managed together. Let's say, for example, under control of the same management entity or whatever, right? Then you have this managed element, which is in the middle, which is basically your PNF or VNF or CNF, depending on what it is. So it shows that this product may be, for example, a UDR function. If it's a UDR product, well, it will just have UDR or maybe multiple instances of UDR, okay? Or NAF or NRF or whatever, okay? Or it could be a combined product. For example, it can be like, you know, ATCA frame with multiple blades, and those blades can be running all those SMF functions, UPF function, PCF functions, and so on, right? So basically, whatever you have, you see here with the suffix function, That's the logical 3GPP entity, which is specified by either REN or SA2. Okay. And here, this diagram, it shows that basically when you deploy a product, you don't deploy the AMF function as a standalone. You deploy it as a managed element, right? And it can be multiple instances of AMF in one product, and it can be combined with other types of functions as well. Right?
That, so you actually instantiate a managed element, or do you instantiate an AMF?
Well, basically what you deploy, if you talk about instantiating a piece of software that will be fulfilling these functions, you instantiate a network element, which is basically either virtualized or non-virtualized. Non-virtualized will be like, you know, you deploy like, you know, forklift a PNF, right? And basically when you deploy your PNF, you create a managed object instance, MOI, managed element representing that PNF that you have forklift deployed, right? If you instantiate a VNF, okay, let's say, company X AMF product, right? So what you have instantiated, you instantiated a managed element, a VNF. Okay. Some of the components, you know, again, the VNFC structure of the VNF may not match exactly AMF SMF because, you know, it's internal architecture of the product, right?
Yeah.
But externally, it looks like it's an AMF plus bunch of SMFs, for example. But as a deployment unit, it's a single VNF. So the single VNF is a single managed element. Which in this particular case will have, let's say, a single instance of AMF and two instances of SMF underneath.
Oh, okay.
And then this this kind of, you know, the octopus diagram, it shows that permutations are possible. So basically, even a product that combines them all is possible, or you can have any of them, right? And then another thing is that the management interfaces, the management APIs, they are associated with the managed element. So you manage a deployed unit, you don't manage a logical subfunction directly, right? So the management API, the RESTful management API that will be exposed, it will be exposed by the managed element. So it will be exposed by PNF or VNF, not by one of the kind
functions.
Of hidden components, hidden functions, right?
I see.
Okay.
So how does, I guess when you have the managed element and it's composed of, I don't know, whatever, an AMF and SMF. So the SMF, AMF.
Well, the proper terminology, it's not composed of, it contains.
Contains,
because,
okay.
Because it may have some non-standardized entities as well within, right?
So the managed element contains an AMF function, and that, does that tell the managed element what things it
Well, the managed element basically, because it's a particular company's product, managed element itself, it knows what it contains. But you need to tell, you know, the external management system, for example, ANI, like, you know, what exactly has been deployed. And then the particular product containment tree, you know, it will have managed element, let's say company X product 1.2.3 version, whatever, right? It will have, let's say, an instance of AMF. Okay. It will have, let's say, five instances of SMF. And it will probably have, let's say, one instance of PCF, right? So basically, this is what exactly this product represents logically, right? So the set of instances. And those instances, like, you know, as you go down in the tree, you know, you need to look at the, like, you know, more concrete containment, because those, here, for example, just go to the next slide. You see, here's an example of the AMF function. So the AMF function will have connectivity to a bunch of neighboring functions, right? If it has a connectivity to, let's say, UDM function, right? That in 3GPP SA2, that link is called, the logical link is N8 link, right? The links are modeled by endpoints. They're not modeled as links. So basically you have an AMF function and you show that there is a remote endpoint. EP stands for endpoint. So basically this is how AMF function knows that it has a peer UDM that it needs to talk to.
Right.
Right. And so on and so on and so on. Basically all those possible logical links are represented like that. Right. And all that you need to know is basically the identity of the function on the other end. And that's like, you know, you see the IOC, like,
let
you know,
me
the
see if I can find the, let me pull up the actual standard itself here.
That's okay.
Okay.
Probably, so, probably the REN model is more interesting because it's more complex. Core model is kind of boring.
Right. That's what I was about to go to. So let me see if I can, I think it's like section 5.2.
Yeah. I think section 4 is REN. Section 4. Oh yeah, let's see.
I think it was 5.2.
Section 5 is core. Section 4 is the run.
Oh, section 4 is the core. Okay.
Yeah, go to class diagrams. That's the most important interesting stuff. Okay, let's take a look at the first diagram. I can tell you how to interpret it, okay? Mm-hmm. So basically, the very first diagram that you see on the top here, it shows that managed element, basically a deployable product, okay? It can be managed by itself because it's a managed element, right? So this product can expose a management API, okay? We can talk about management API separately. But this product can represent GNBDUs, GNBCUUPs, and GNBCUCPs, okay? Of course, there can be a combined product, let's say a non-split GNB, which will have all those three type of functions together. Right, or it can be, let's say, if you have a DU product, then the rightmost and the middle one will not be present. So only the DU function will be present. Okay, under this DU function, you can have multiple DU cells, right? Again, you have to pay attention to the cardinality of the relationships, right? So basically, first of all, the product can be a multiple DUs combined, multiple logical DUs combined together, even though they're deployed together, right, in the single unit. And under each of those DUs, we may have multiple NR cell DUs, right? Those are logical cells. Okay, and that's basically how it is. And it shows you what can be deployed in principle, right? What can be, like, you know, what can be part of your ANI inventory, right? So basically, you have VNFs or PNFs, you know, with the CUs, probably those will be VNFs. Mm-hmm. With DU, 3GPP DU, well, it's not virtualized unit, right? ORAN, it further splits it into RU and DU. But in 3GPP, DU is not virtualized because, well, it has access to the radio, its amplifiers, you know, radios and so on. So it's not a virtualized unit. Mm-hmm. So basically the DU on the left, it's most likely non-virtualized, so it's your PNF. But the PNF is not the DU itself, it's the managed element, which is the PNF, which contains the DU function, right? Okay, then the next example is, like, you know, you have a VNF, managed element VNF, and it has a CUUP function or CUCP function and so on.
What's the superclass of NR cell DU, for example? Is there a superclass for that?
Well, you have to look at the inheritance. This is not inheritance, this is name container.
Right, I understand, yeah. I was just wondering, is that also some kind of network element or managed element?
No, it does not inherit from the element, you know. You have to look at the separate inheritance diagram. I think it's in the same spec, maybe just further down. The inheritance diagram is typically somewhere near. You know, I just don't have it in front of me, but yeah,
here's inheritance. Here, yeah.
Here's inheritance. Mm-hmm. Okay, so basically you have,
So they're managed functions, okay.
Yeah, they're all managed functions, yes. And managed functions, of course, they all inherit from the top.
Are there any subclasses of managed element in the 3GPP model?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so you have it's kind of cool because you have a generic managed element and then you kind of just plug in the different functions into it through the containment.
Yeah, because managed element is basically just deployed unit. You know, it's either PNF or VNF, right? But it can do whatever.
Yeah.
And the good thing about it, or, like, you know, the productive or the payload thing of it is managed functions. All kinds of managed functions.
Right, right.
And there are relationships between them, you know, hierarchies and so on and so on. Yeah.
Right. So if I'm just trying to get a better understanding how we associate the VNF, CNF, PNF into this model.
This you have to look, Ben, if you can open 28.622, I will show you how it is associated. Because
let's see if I have that.
622.
Yeah, let me see.
Just download it, you know, and that's where the link between VNF and the rest.
I think I have it on my computer. Okay, I'll just find it. Yeah,
that's okay.
Uh, 622, right?
622, yes. I don't think you need. That's okay. No, it's fine. Just go to 28 series. Yeah, that's the one. It's the second entry. Okay, scroll down, 622. Yeah, right. It's at the bottom, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then let's open the latest version, which has been published like last week. Mm. So go to versions. Okay, and then click on the 1640. Yeah, this one. 1640, yeah, just direct link. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hey Ben, could we either attach these or attach a link?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, and then go to that panel on the left, like you know, control F. That's the easiest. I know, and it shows immediately. Okay, so then let's go to managed function on the left. Yeah, managed function 434. Close 434 managed function. Okay, and then you can see the first attribute here is the VNF parameter list. Okay. Highlight it and then press Control F so that we can go to the attribute definition. Yeah, the highlighted. Yeah. No, highlight it and then press Control F.
Yeah.
434.
Isn't this way you 4.17?
No. You're looking for discover. I don't know why. Okay, highlight this, double click on it, Control F. Okay, and then hit enter. And then keep going down on the left. Just don't do like, you know, yeah.
Yeah, like
keep going. Here you go. This is the attribute definition, right? So basically, you have attribute on each managed function. Basically, each managed function that you have in the 541, they're concrete managed functions. They inherit from the generic managed function from the parent, and the parent has this VNF parameter list attribute. Okay.
And this provides the association.
Basically provides the association with the VNF instance ID.
And the descriptor. Okay.
Descriptor ID, flavor ID, autoscalable, and that's it. The weird thing is that even though the VNF in 3GPP is presented by the managed element, the association is at the managed function level. So basically that was done because somebody, I will not name names or companies, came up with the crazy idea that, you know what? What happens if a function spans across multiple deployed VNFs, for example?
Yep.
And then even though it's nobody supports it, but theoretically it's possible. So that's that was the motivation to have this association VNF to logical entity at the managed function, not at the managed element.
But also the CU could be represented by a different VNF than the, or PNF than the DU.
Yes, but if you go back to 628, and if you can go to the diagram back, the name containment diagram in 541, and keep going up, like, you know, the first name containment diagram of the RAN. That diagram already supports it, and this I will show you here. Yeah, this one. Mm-hmm. You see, managed element is your VNF. Okay, it's not an instance diagram; it's a class diagram. So there could be an instance of a VNF that contains only DU.
Got it.
And
okay.
Another instance of the VNF that contains only CUUP. Another instance of the VNF that contains only CUCP.
Some combination of these. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Basically, again, it's a class diagram. Instance diagram can be any permutation that vendor wants to come up with.
Right? So if I want to represent a deployment that has multiple VNFs, I'd have to represent that as multiple managed elements.
Pretty much. Again, because you do manage each VNF individually, right? If you need to group them and manage them as a group, that's a different topic, and that's a subnetwork. That's where the subnetwork or network slice subnet comes into picture. When you talk about managing an instance, a deployed instance of something, a deployed instance, like, you know, let's kind of differentiate the instance of a managed object representing it in your management system memory versus actual deployed instance of, like, you know, virtual machine, right, or container deployed somewhere out there. Right, so the container or virtual machine is a network element. Logically, it is represented as a managed element. What does it do? Well, it does something good, and that good part of about it is represented by the functions that it contains, right? So that's the whole logic of the 3GPP NRM.
Yeah, I understand pretty well. Thank
you. And the 5G node BDU function is composed of
This is all the endpoints. This is connectivity. Connectivity is basically what do you have on the other side. Okay. This is more interesting because this is relationship with the carriers, sector carriers. And you see, you have the GNBDU function, and the name contains BWP. I think it's you have to look at it, what it is.
The bandwidth part.
Yep. The bandwidth, yeah, whatever.
Bandwidth part.
Basically, it has the relationship to the NRCL DUs, right?
Yep.
You have seen it before. It has the relationship to NR sector carriers. And then you have the equipment function, sector equipment function. And then basically, if you want to have a sector equipment function, that's what typically you address in your inventories.
Mm-hmm.
And for the inventory, there is yet another part of the model that is separated from 541, where you keep inventory of your licenses, of your software versions, for example. That's a separate model.
I see.
Right.
And do you know what standard that is?
Yeah, but you know, I just don't remember the number in front of. I don't have it in front of me. But you know, it's also like another similar, and it's just smaller model that is dedicated to inventory units only. Right. Again, it talks about licenses and software versions and serial numbers of the hardware and you know this kind of stuff.
So this would kind of like be a ANI entry where it has all of the
Everything will be an ANI entry, mm-hmm. I assume. Mm-hmm. But the structure, it will be a structured entries with multiple relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And the structure of relationships will basically follow this name containment diagrams here. Okay. You should be able to navigate if you point at the VNF or PNF in your legacy database, right? So mm-hmm. you should be able to figure out what managed element it represents in 3GPP language. And immediately you should be able to see the name containment, what logical functions this managed element contains. So you should be able to see immediately what this VNF has been deployed for, what it does, what frequencies, what configurations, and so on.
And the only job of the endpoint objects are to associate different logical functions together?
Yes, basically these are logical links. These are communication links, right?
Are they named by reference points or those 3GPP reference points?
This is a standardized 3GPP reference point. Basically, EP stands for endpoint. F1C, that's the link. F1 type of link, C control plane. F1U is a user plane. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So Andy, how do we use this in OWASP?
I don't know.
That's really the key question here. What's in the
plan? Well, I'm just trying to consume it right now and understand
Can you dump it in ANI? Sure.
Yeah.
Can you dump it into the same table that you have now? Yes, but it will be a mess, right?
Yeah.
How do we associate this with some of the ORAN stuff too?
So yeah, and also how does the platform information model need to adapt to incorporate some of this in is the key question, right?
Do you really need to hard link it with the platform? Because again, the platform, it is VNF or PNF. And the logical link between what this stuff does and the VNF or PNF, it's already there. It's part of 622 that I did show you.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, I'm just thinking out loud. I'm not making any official statements or anything, but I'm thinking that there's a certain amount of high level classes. We have managed elements, managed functions, we have endpoints, right? Mm-hmm. And there's definitely some kind of structure put together around this at a generic level that probably needs to be modeled first. Mm-hmm. And then the details can be attachments or those are the things that might be model driven because you might introduce new functions in the future.
That's exactly the approach that 3GPP taken so far. Mm-hmm. Because what we do, how we manipulate those objects, we do have a generic API, which is called management service, right?
Ooh, can you give us a link to that too?
Of course, 28.5.32, take a look.
5.32? 5.32,
yeah. Let's take a look at it now and basically... And by the way, there is a ONAP specific information in that document. I'm surprised that you guys don't know about it.
I probably did look at it once, but
that's okay. Maybe it was not mature at that time. Now it's supposed to be all nice and working. And I can guide you through this thing too.
It might have been
last winter.
Yeah, but you know, now it's like, you know, yeah. Take a look. 16.4.0 that has been published July 10th last week. Okay. So this is basically the generic management APIs. We call them management services because everything is service-based, right? It's the same API that would be exposed towards ONAP by the BTS itself or by the element manager if somebody insists that they need an element manager, right? So basically, this is the API that you can consume from EPSI, I assume, or any other component of OneUp if you need to. Okay, and I can walk you through.
Yeah. Right.
It takes some time because it's huge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so maybe make the navigation pane a little bit wider so that I can guide you through for this. And then let's talk about navigation pane here. So basically you have three major services here, right? The first is provisioning service. Second is fault supervision service. And the third is performance assurance service. The most interesting from the model perspective is the provisioning service. Let's click on this and see like what operations. Just open the bullet 11.1.1.
Ooh, okay. Here?
On the left, 11.1.1, not 11.3.
Oh, sorry, 11.1.1. Yeah. Okay.
Just expand it, you know. Yeah, here. You see there's a bunch of operations. There's like create MOI, basically that's how you create a managed object instance. There is a get MOI attributes, there is a modify MOI attributes, there is a delete MOI. Basically, this is CRUD approach. Create, read, update, delete. Right. So let's take a look at the create MOI operation.
Create MOI operation. Okay.
Yeah, that's the first one. So basically, this is how you create all those object instances that correspond to managed elements, managed functions, and so on, right? And endpoints. This is how you create stuff. Okay. If you want to read, get information, so you obviously use the get MOI attributes. And there is a way to get just a single object instance or the whole tree if you need to, right? This is the stage two definition. Basically, this is the high level operation description, right? With the high level input parameters in just plain English and text format, right? If you collapse that 11.1.1 and then let's just explore the headings a little bit down, okay? So there is a RESTful HTTP-based solution sets. So those are the mappings between stage two details, like let's say this operation name and attribute names, and what will be happening on the rest, in the HTTP solution. Okay, and the most interesting thing, if you continue scrolling down, okay, on the left, I think you will find the OpenAPI definitions for all of it. You know, for example, here, let's take a look at the Prov MNS, here, this one. Let's open this one and you will see basically it's a full YAML definition for the API that you can import into ONNAT and auto-generate code and deal with 3GPP functions directly.
It's having a hard time getting there.
It's huge. That's why it's so slow. Okay, so here's this is the YAML open API definition.
Right.
And it gives you basically all the operations, how you manipulate the stuff and everything else. Okay. Yeah, you can scroll down through this open API definition. Right now, today, it's published as part of this Word document. There is a basically GitLab project run by Etsy, which is called Etsy Forge. And all the content, all those YAML definitions will be published there in machine readable format, right? Right now, it's in beta version for the management APIs. Okay, the CRs, all the changes have not been merged yet. So the merge is supposed to happen maybe this week, maybe next week. Once the merge has happened, you can basically just access this directly. And I can give you the link to it. Let me just find the link and I will paste it in the chat and then you can open it.
Okay.
Okay, so basically what I'm trying to come up with is that you have a model, right? At least like, you know, well, we can talk about the format of the model as well, because it's already made compatible with ONNAP. Okay, so let me just paste the link. Where is the chat here? Okay, so I just pasted the link. You can go there and take a look. So what's there is basically March version of the standard, which is a little bit outdated, or pretty much outdated. Okay, so maybe worth bookmarking it. Okay, and I can see there's a word trial at the end of the name of the repository, right?
Let me just put it in the page so everybody can access it.
Of course. So basically, this is where the official APIs will be published by 3GPP in the future. Right. And it's, of course, it's done primarily for ONAP and open source projects like that. Okay. So what you probably want to click at is click on the open API. Yeah, here. And then if you scroll down, don't click on any of these YAML files. It's not very useful. You see here, you have this editor link to generic NRM. You know, click on this just for fun. You know, click on the editor link, generic NRM editor link. You see, this is 623. This is basically the same NRM network resource model that you were looking at. Okay, it's opening. It takes some time. And now you have an open API definition of the same model that you were looking at before.
Interesting.
Okay. So basically, again, you have code generation, auto-generation tools that basically can generate this the code that deals with this model, right? Okay. And again, don't use it yet. Wait until the merge happens, because this is based on the March version and it's quite outdated.
What's the UI link here?
It's just, you know, click on it, you will see what it is. It's just a subset of the view where you don't care about the code itself. You're looking at the API structure. You know, scroll down and I will show you what it is. Okay. I can click on any of those. They're all expendable. Okay, so basically this is just a string, you know, correlation type, you know, notification type, and it's all expendable. It's like, you know, it even gives you the JSON examples and so
on. I see.
So Ben, this is like what we're doing in ONAP with Redoc. It's just a different tool.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Okay. So basically this is what's there. Another thing is that what you see here is YAML, right? Keep going back to that parent of the directory, like, you know. Just hit the back button in the browser. Yeah, here. You see, they have young models. No.
Here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is basically the same models, the same NRMs represented in young format, specifically for consumption by ONAP EPC.
Yep.
Okay. Can I go into one of these?
Yeah, of course. Okay. And here's your young definition of 3GPP, radio, whatever. All right, what is it? NRM AFF function. This is core. This is less interesting. Let's go to REN, like, you know, one of the REN files. Scroll down to, well, you see beam functions, you know, NR sector, you know, it's all there. NRCLCU. Let's go to NRCLCU, for example. That's fun.
Gnode B function, DU function.
Yeah. So it's all there. So basically you can pretty much use it with EPC directly. Okay, again, this is March version of the standard.
Top group.
Okay, top group is basically, remember I mentioned that the ID of the object is inherited from the top underscore. That's what
this
it
one
is.
Maybe.
Top. Yeah, you can take a look at this, of course.
Common top. Okay, this is super useful, Anatoly. I'm really glad you are on the call. Thank you.
Okay. And I just kind of observed you struggling with trying to interpret the...
Yes, no, that was great. I didn't have too much experience with that. So yeah, that's good.
Okay. So here it is. You see, it points at 620 and 622, as I mentioned.
Yeah.
You see, it's right there. Reference is 620, 622. Okay. Brilliant. So that probably much easier for you to digest and make use of it, right?
Right. So, go ahead.
Yeah, but again, the primary definition of the NRM, it's UML and tables, right? That's what you look at in 541. Mm-hmm. In the annexes of 541, that's actually where you will find the YAML definitions and the young definitions, right? So basically, Forge is just a way to publish it in a machine-readable format.
Right.
Okay.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah, that was the link you just.
And then again, the primary text, it's UML and tables. The YAML or YUNG are just stage three. Basically, it's a solution set. It's a representation of what has been presented in stage two in this case, right?
So Forge is like you're just the repo.
Stage three. It's a stage three repository. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. And of course, for ONAP, for the code, for the projects, it's much easier to deal with stage three because you don't really care about stage two unless you have some concerns, you don't understand how it works. For the developers to take a look at stage two once and then just deal with stage three, that's enough.
So basically, it sounds like it's very easy just to use directly the 3GPP models. Mm-hmm. If you use them directly, all of the code is, all the code modeling is kind of already done for you from these four.
It can be done. But of course, as probably you mentioned, or Andy mentioned, that there will be tons of proprietary attributes, proprietary parameters, vendor extensions, right? Mm-hmm. The format, well, again, I hope that if, for example, if Company X, again, I'm not naming any names, right? If Company X offers AT&T a product, right? So basically, they're supposed to supply it with the model corresponding to this product, right? Which will basically be a 3GPP model taken as a base with extensions, which fill the gaps, like, you know, what's not present in 3GPP model for this particular product, right?
Sure.
So you will see exactly, like, you know, for example, if this managed element, this VNF that this company offered to you, mm-hmm. has DU and CU or DU only, okay, what proprietary attributes it have in the, has in the DU managed function in addition to what 3GPP has defined, and so on and so on and so on. So basically, right. That's
so it's basically meant to use the that as a base, and then you can you
this
can
is base
add on
yes.
To,
so this add on this to it, this, yeah. this is supposed to be the minimum required base in order to make stuff work.
Right.
The innovation that takes the stuff beyond, well, they are called vendor specific extensions, mm-hmm. right? And there is a way to model it in 3GPP as well. It's called VS Container. And the point is that in VS Container, you need to identify the container boundaries, right? So basically, if you receive a message on the interface and it contains some vendor extension, you need to see where this extension begins, where it ends, right? So basically, you don't choke on it. And then you need to be able to identify whose extension is it. Basically, let's say you received and it's an Ericsson or Nokia extension. So you need to identify, oh, it's a Nokia extension. And basically you need to look at the dictionary of provided to you by Nokia to decode it further, right? Or Ericsson dictionary to decode it further, right? That's how the specific container works.
Is it too late to change the name of it as container?
VS Container,
too bad it's not like VS Package or something. Because VS Package isn't a good name.
The point is that at the package level, maybe it's a package, but because the VS extensions are possible in multiple places, right? It's just generic name and generic concept, right?
Well, yeah, just don't. It's the overloading of the term container because there's
a container is used a lot.
That.
Yeah, that's true.
No, it's not a Kubernetes, a Docker container.
I know that.
That's what everybody thinks.
I know that, and you know that.
Right.
But there's going to be other people that.
It's a data container, right?
Well, I get it, but it's just not a good name.
But, you know, we can take a look. I think it's in 28.6.22 where this VS container is defined. I think it's
622, you said? Yeah,
okay. 622.
Let me see here.
622. Right. Look for VS. Here. It's a 439.
439.
And it's a VS data container. Right. So basically, this is the format of the vendor extensions everywhere, right? Because it's in 622, that's a generic network resource model. Mm-hmm. So, and you can see, like, you know, which entities can have it. I think every entity is allowed to have it. You can have it at the managed element level. You can have it at the managed function level. You can have it at the subnetwork level. Mm-hmm. So, but again, the point is that you need to be able to identify the boundaries of it. So if you come across something that you don't recognize, well, that's where it starts, where it ends. And you need to be able to identify whose dictionary you need to use to understand what it is. Okay.
Yeah, this is super useful because I think then other companies can add whatever they need.
Yeah,
you know,
but need. That's how companies typically add stuff into the GPP,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
In the model.
Right.
Yeah. So I think the only thing we might want to look at then for inventory is, I know the APIs here are at the managed object level. It's very generic, right? But in inventory, sometimes we want a little bit more detail and maybe we have to have that higher level of understanding the managed element, managed function, relationship to network function.
For example, if you query a, let's say, Nokia management product X, again, I'm talking just completely abstractly, right, from the standards perspective, and you ask for the management tree, which is controlled by this product, but this, let's say, this element manager or the main manager, whatever. So it will give you the whole tree, like, you know, basically all instances of the objects, management objects, in their containment hierarchy, right? So that's basically all you need. Then you need to be able to parse the tree, and dump it into your ANI database.
Yeah, but there's some strength in having some hierarchy in the path when you're doing your queries, just for efficiency as well.
Well, of course, everything, like, you know, if you look at the details of the NRM, the solution sets, and then the generic provisioning service, everything has, we do follow REST principles, right? So every resource is represented by a URI path, right? Of course, if you're looking for something in particular, you need to know that URI path, and that's it, right? But the URI path is, there are rules how it is constructed, right? And it's in 28.5.3.2, right? That's where you need, what you need to read to understand the structures. So basically, it's if it's name contained by a subnetwork, then you will see subnetwork preceding the managed element, right? If you want to address, for example, a DU cell, the path will probably have a subnetwork, then it will have a managed element, then it will have a DU.
Okay, so you do have a DU cell. So you maintain the
of course
we structured do. Path. Okay.
Yeah, of course. And then the whole path will be also related to the distinguished name, which is again, it's not URI path format, but it's a similar structured naming convention.
32, usually dots between, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's with the dots and yeah, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And of course there is a concept of relative distinguished name, full distinguished name.
Right.
And in the RESTful APIs, we perform a mapping between the DMs and the URI paths, right? Okay. And then if you look at the generic provisioning service, it's in the beginning, right? You will see the service variable, server variables.
That's 620.
632. 632. Let's take a look at the annex where the... Oh, we can look at the forge if you want, but you know, it's probably outdated there.
I don't think I got 632. Let me see.
No, not 532, not 632. 532.
Oh, 532. Okay, yeah.
You do have it, yeah. 532, and then let's go down to provmns YAML, and then at the beginning of this YAML, it's at the bottom, somewhere in the annexes.
Well, then right? I'm gonna have to drop real quick.
Oh yeah, sorry. We're actually at time. So
yeah, here you see at the beginning. So you have this URIDN prefix. You have root provisioning MNS, and then the LDN first part. This is the local DN. I see this LDN first path on the right in the curly brackets. You see that's basically the whole path.
And then
the left side, you know, 16.4.0, and to the left, that will be specific for the instance of the management service. The LDN first part, that's exactly your model tree. Okay.
Great. Okay.
It's all here basically.
Yeah. This is great. Okay, so we're at time. And does anybody have any further thoughts or comments or questions?
Benjamin, I have a quick question.
Sure.
I think this NRM model defined by 3GPP is pretty good. Mm. The only question I have is more like a use case, because when I look at your JIRA ticket, the use case description is not very clear for me.
Okay.
But today, if you look at the ONAP use case, whatever use case, onboarding or distribution, installation, everything is talking about the management of the inventory. So you manage a PF instance or you manage a VF instance. We're not manage any application running on top of that. Mm-hmm. By defining this NRM, is this the intention to change the ONAP to manage the?
I hope that ONAP does not define NRM. I hope that if ONAP needs to obtain 3GPP information to populate local inventory, ONAP knows how to deal with it, what it is. But I hope
ONAP doesn't know anything about the application today.
Mm-hmm. Which is probably okay.
Again, yes. That's my question. Are we try to change the ONAP to instead of manage the inventory, or are we going to make it more like a manage the application at the same time? That is my question.
Yeah, I think what I'm trying to do with this use case is basically ask, what do we need to do to turn up a real DU and have ONAP recognize it? That's what I'm trying to solve.
I'm totally fine with that. But my question is, if that is the intention, it's going to have an impact in the architecture, the ONAP architecture, because all the use case, everything need to be changed. So do we have any consideration of that? For instance, today, without NRM model, all the use case works.
Yeah.
I don't think anything will go wrong without the NRM into the ONAP model. Mm-hmm. Right? You agree with that, right?
So yeah.
So by introducing NRM model, are we going to introduce some new use case, like a new onboarding procedure, new installation procedure? Is that in the plan or not?
So I think that's something we should discuss, right? Do we need to introduce the NRM maybe we don't. That's why we're having these meetings, right? So I want to understand.
Because from your slide, you only mentioned CPS. But for CPS, my understanding is ONAP doesn't need to know the model, which is defined in the onboarding young model. You just need the CPS convert into a schema in the database. Then that's fine.
To store information. That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah. So but
maybe that's all we need, right?
Yeah, yes, correct. But if we try to define NRM into the ONAP modeling, then that's something different.
Yes.
It means that from SDC, from SO, from everybody has to understand, am I onboarding a PNF
That's why it's good to have Andy on the call, who is on the call, because he's the platform information model expert. So if we don't need to introduce anything into the actual platform information model, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. Or I think that's what when I went to the modeling group, Andy's discussion was, it's kind of what you were saying. He was saying, maybe we need to introduce something in the core service model for links to where we can hang. This is Andy's thoughts. Mm-hmm. So I think we still need to have that discussion. It's an excellent question. And when I went to the modeling team, that was something, the similar sort of thing they brought up as well. And so I have a slot and next Monday's modeling call as well to talk about that.
Think that from ONAP modeling, you probably need a link or pointer to the NRM model. Mm. But whatever defined inside the NRM model, that ONAP doesn't need to be aware of it.
It needs to be aware, but it doesn't need to be part of ONAP. That's probably better way to describe it. For example, if you onboard a vendor's model when you onboard the product, that's essentially what you get. You get the NRM with vendor-specific extensions.
Right.
So and ONAP needs to be aware that, there is a model that has been onboarded.
Yeah.
But importing the model NRM into ONAP repositories,
probably not necessary. And this,
again, I'm not talking about instance of ANI. Uh-huh. ANI can have a copy of the entire management tree. That's okay if it has been obtained from the objects onboarded, right? Mm-hmm. But ONAP is an open source project. It doesn't need to copy any of it.
It points to the NRM model, is there would there be some like sort of instance of that model? I mean, how does it?
What I mean is that from this ONAP model, it just say on top of the PNF, I have 3GPP NRM running on top of that. Mm-hmm. Then I have this NRM model onboarded.
And that's enough. Yes, I agree with you.
Yes.
I agree with you, Sean.
But then inside of the NRM model, if you define one GNOB, two GNOB, who cares about that?
Mm. Exactly.
Yeah. I see. So ONAP, during the onboarding process, you would onboard the 3GPP NRM model, maybe, and then the actual...
We can make it generic, just onboard application model.
Uh-huh. And then you also avoid dependency on 3GPP, because it's if you want to manage non-3GPP product...
Yes. Right.
If you maintain the same generic approach, it's a federated model. Mm-hmm. Right. So you have ONAP base model, where you deal, with granularity of managed elements, because those are VNFs and PNFs. And then if you want to get into the next layer of detail of what those PNFs and VNFs do, basically you just continue parsing the model, which is available at runtime. Right. That's probably what is needed, but
Okay, so I kind of like that approach. So basically, we're saying we don't need to maybe don't change the platform information model itself, but rather we onboard this generic application model.
You need to enable, let's say, a kind of a plugin concept or federated models that can be riding on top of this platform model, right? So basically, if you know what this model format is, mm-hmm. and you know where to get it from, mm-hmm. I know this Etsy Forge is a good example, mm-hmm. right? Okay. So that's basically what it is.
Yeah.
Like, you know, from the code perspective, you need to know what you need to be prepared for. Like, you know, what is right. the model format? What is the model structure?
Right.
Right. And then you basically deal with the concrete models that you receive during onboarding of the products, right?
Okay. I like that. So maybe we'll start with that discussion next time, and maybe I can draw some diagrams in between. Okay, so thank you everybody for joining. Again, we meet the third Thursday of every month, and we'll meet again next, and we'll continue the discussion from here. All right, thank you everybody for joining, and have a great day. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye.